Welcome to the season of Epiphany, and today the baptism of Jesus is what we're looking at, and the revealing of the Christ through his baptism, who he is and who he is for us and who he is for the world and who he is in and of himself. And so we begin by reading from Mark chapter 1, starting at verse 4. That's the Gospel of Mark chapter 1, starting at verse 4. John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all of the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens opening and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." So baptism in the Gospel of Mark for Jesus, Jesus' baptism in the Gospel of Mark, reveals to us and to all of those around him who Jesus is. It's a baptism of identification. It signifies who Jesus is to the world, not just to the people of Galilee or the people of Israel, but to the whole world. And John is the primary identifier. He's the one who begins the process of identifying who Jesus is. And here in Mark, while Mark doesn't use a lot of words, he is the brevity gospel, but he identifies him in a couple of different ways. First, he says that Jesus is the one who comes, after me comes he who is mightier than I. So the first thing that John does is identify Jesus as someone mightier, as someone stronger, more powerful than even he is. And he's saying that that person is going to come after him. So he's the lead, and this person, Jesus, who we get to know later, is the one who comes after him. And he clearly, being God in the flesh, is mightier than John. So John identifies Jesus first by saying he's the one who's coming after me and he's much more powerful than I am. And he continues on by saying he's the one whose sandals I'm not even worthy to untie. I'm not even worthy to be a servant at the lowest level. I'm not even worthy to be the one who washes Jesus' feet on this journey because he is so much more powerful than I am. So not only is he the one who's going to come after and replace me, he's the one who's more powerful and who has more worth. He is the one that I'm not even worthy to acknowledge, basically. And then he says, I've baptized you with water, but this guy is going to come and he's going to baptize with the Holy Spirit. He's going to baptize with Holy Spirit and fire, as one of the other gospels identifies Jesus as the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is the one who's going to inaugurate the working of the Holy Spirit. Not that the Holy Spirit hasn't been working before, but what he's going to do is start to work with that Holy Spirit in people's lives individually and as a group, creating the church. We'll see that later in the book of Acts. So John is the first one to identify. In other gospels, we see him identifying Jesus as, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the world. As soon as Jesus walks up, John sees him and knows him and points to him, and he's the one. He's the Christ. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So just in that moment, in that part of the time, we ought to know who Jesus is. We ought to see him as the one who is to come, as the Christ who is to come. And yet Jesus still goes down into the river to be baptized. He still goes through the water baptism in the river that everyone else is going through. The people from Judea and Jerusalem and all of the surrounding countryside are going to John and being baptized. And he's going down into the water just as everybody else does. And Mark says that it's the baptism for the forgiveness of sins, for repentance, for the forgiveness of sins. But Jesus doesn't need forgiveness. He doesn't need to repent. So what he's doing is in that baptism, he's taking all of the regular stuff that everybody else is involved in, and he's sanctifying it. He's saying, I now am making this part special. There's going to be something different about this baptism. I don't have a need for it in the same sense that everybody else does. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to change it, and I'm going to make it somehow inclusive of the Holy Spirit and faith and power. And so that's Jesus going into the waters of baptism and identifying with those waters. And as he comes up out of the water, Mark says that the Holy Spirit descends, the heavens open, the Holy Spirit descends as a dove, and then the voice from the heavens says that this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So now the identification of Jesus has been made even more solid with the pronouncement of the Father, the presence of the Holy Spirit, the voice from God. And so anybody who is within earshot ought to know who Jesus is as he comes out of those waters of baptism. There ought to be no question as to who Jesus is. Now, that's great to say. However, there's always questions because of our sinful nature, our sinful humanity. Someone's always questioning who Jesus is. And we'll see that as Jesus goes through his life and times leading up to his crucifixion, he's constantly questioned as to who he is. What's your identity? How are you named? What is this all about? And all he really needs to do is point back to his baptism. He doesn't do that all the time, but that's where God said who he is. And so the same thing, this baptism that Jesus undergoes is the same thing that happens in our baptism. Not in the sense that we now become Jesus or something like that, but in our baptism, we are identified. Now, before we are baptized, when we are born, we are named, and our identity is in that name and in our connection to our family. But in baptism, that identity changes. That identity is made more, is made permanent, is made part of the heavenly realms. That our identity in baptism is now made in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Because of what Jesus went through in baptism, now when we go through baptism, that's what happens to us. Our names are changed. In our baptismal rite, I brought the hymnal with me today, and in the baptismal rite, the pastor asks who the people to be baptized are and what are their names. And in ancient, older liturgies, we used to ask about the Christian name. How are you to be named and what's your Christian name, as if they were two different things. And here in baptism is where God puts his own name on you. He puts the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit on you. So not only are you named whatever your name is, and you're not just connected to your family, you're now connected to the family of the church. You're identified with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So baptism through Christ is a baptism of identification. And Jesus identifies with us by going through those same things, by sanctifying the waters of baptism, by being in the river with us. That's Jesus sanctifying and making the waters of baptism something incredible, something powerful. And not only are we now identified in the family of God, and not only are we identified with Christ, with his name, now something even more incredible happens. And for that, we're going to look at Romans chapter 6, which is, in a strange way, it's part of our funeral rite. So as a Christian, your baptism is now connected to your funeral. Your baptism at birth, or whenever you are reborn in baptism, is now connected to the time that you are enter into eternal life, that time when you pass on. Because in our funeral rite, let me find it here, funeral service, the opening prayer, the opening remembrance of baptism in our funeral rite says, in holy baptism, you put your name or whoever's name, was clothed with the robe of Christ's righteousness that covered all his sin. As St. Paul says, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. So the idea that baptism isn't just about that precious moment of the baby having the water poured on and the washing of the water and the word, but that baptism carries you all the way through from the beginning to the end. It's your baptism, because it's in that baptism that everything that Christ had is given to you. Everything that Christ did is given to you. And so you are not just identified as a Christian or as one redeemed by Christ the crucified. You are now connected to Jesus in a way that only a baptized child of God can be. And that means that what Christ did here in baptism is as much for you as what Christ did on the cross. That's as much for you as what happened in baptism. So in new life and in death and new life, Christ gives it to you. So you now receive the blessings of the heavenly realms, as we said another time ago, that Christ gives to you in your baptism. So in baptism, we're connected to his death, meaning that what he did in death, he does for us. What he did in the grave is what he does for us. And what he did on the cross is what he does for us. And that means that everything that Christ has is now ours. We're made co-heirs, fellow heirs, brothers and sisters of Christ by what he did on the cross, by what he does in baptism. And so that we know that Christ has been raised from the dead, that Christ lives unto eternity. And so because of that, because of this, the waters of baptism, we, you and me, live to eternity. That means the death, he died to sin, so that then we, when we die, we are dead to sin. And when we're baptized, we are connected to him rather than sin, and we are set free to live, to die, to rise again. That's us, believe it or not. No, not. Believe it. Believe it. That what Christ does for us in baptism, what Christ does on the cross, what Christ does in the supper, all of that is given to us. Us sinful human beings who make a mess of just about every gift that's given to us, and yet he gives us the most precious, the gift of eternal life, the gift of grace, the great gift of forgiveness, the gift of the promise that when he returns, he's going to take us to be with him. That's Christ's baptism. That's the connection to the cross. That's the connection to us. That's how it works. So what I want you to hear is, you are blessed in Christ. You are made one with Christ in baptism. You live as his child. You'll die as his child, and you'll rise again as his child. So then when we sing the hymn, God's own child, I gladly say it, I am baptized into Christ. I live with that. We live with that. So live in your baptism. Live in faith. Live in grace. From now until eternity. Amen.